But if you Google it, actually, the definition of an introvert is a shy, reticent person. But to Google, I beg to differ. Hey there, Zesties! Welcome to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. Here we focus on personal experiences, pop culture, and social impacts. So if this is right up your alley, then please keep on listening. Before we dive right in, please follow, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. You can also follow me on my socials, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, that's at Gleeful Talk Show, or visit gleefultalkshow.com. If you are into anything about lifestyle, fragrances, and travel, I have a blog site called theambivertlife.com, so please do check it out too. If you'd like to give me a cup of coffee or two, please head down to the episode notes to find out how. In life, it's always good and healthy to take a step back and reflect on life experiences, especially when some aspects of life consumes us or has consumed us. So today's episode is a thought to ponder on, Zesties. What experiences in life has reshaped the way you view things around you? It's good to reflect on these experiences so that we become more aware of ourselves and we can take steps in order to become a better version of ourselves. So let's start off with my experience. And I hope that whenever you listen to this episode, you also ponder on your experiences as well. I grew up as the eldest kid in the family and also the eldest amongst my maternal relatives. So I'm like the eldest cousin on my mother's side as well. Being the eldest kid has its perks, but has its downsides as well. The perks, you get all the nurturing and attention to the point that it gets too much. Too much nurturing in a sense that your parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles protect you from the ugly side of life. It starts very simple, right? They watch over you too much. If you trip over, then they come to your rescue right away. Parents tend to make your home economics projects better. I remember some project before that we needed to sew like a pillowcase, and I'm not that good in sewing. And then, you know, they have to step in and help me out. I can go on and on. But what did it teach me? It taught me that life was easy, that life is a bed of roses, that I always have support, that I am always shielded. There was a time that my parents don't want me to go to a school outing during high school because they were afraid that there will be an accident going to that place, etc. And then they bribed me with gadgets like, let's say, Game Boy or VTech or something. I don't know if they're still VTech now. Another time was when I was in elementary. I was actually a Girl Scout, and I was a Girl Scout of the Year during my elementary school. And the school is just a few minutes away from our house, let's say maybe 15-minute ride. And my parents went to the school to bring me food during camping. Can you imagine that? Like, what does a Girl Scout mean to you, Mindpa? Like, why do you have to bring me food? And also, during that camp trip, I remember we were supposed to go to a different place afterwards, but then they wanted me to cut my trip because they wanted me to go home, and to do that, they were bribing me of like, oh, there's a laptop waiting for you at home. But it wasn't actually a laptop. It was actually like something like a VTech type of toy where you can type, and there were some other games on that, but it looks like a laptop. So yes, I cut the camping and then went home and then realized it wasn't a laptop. But anyway, I was playing with it. It was actually really good. And actually, that toy really helped me to become one of the fastest typers in class. Fast forward high school. So yeah, it was kind of like a pro and con, you know, but I don't know if any of you has typed the sentence, "The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog near the bank of the river." They say that that sentence has all the letters in the alphabet. So if you can type that sentence very fast, then you're a very good typer. I don't know if that's fast nowadays, because this was like ancient times, you know. So I was able to type this sentence in 8 seconds. So I don't know what's the norm now. So anyway, my whole childhood, like very shielded, very coddled, I would say. So it did shape me that way, that I am the way I am. As I grew older, I realized that that wasn't really helping me tackle through life. And I feel that that has made me become an escapist. So in order for me to survive life, I escape to a lot of things. And thankfully to wholesome things, but wholesome things, if done not in moderation, is still dangerous. So okay, not really that dangerous, but say for example, watching too much TV. Like I bury myself in watching these fantasy and fictional realms so I can forget how hard life is. It's pretty hard to unlearn that, but I am doing my best. My mother always say to me that life is not always a bed of roses and I should go through hardships, etc. But guess what, Mom? You shaped me like this. But no offense, Mom in heaven. I do miss you very much, by the way, and every freaking day. Anyway, I'm still glad that I turned out this way and not something else. But that's the thing that I need to unlearn and relearn, that even though I was shaped in some way when I was a kid, I need to be able to tackle from that and rise above that experience. Not saying that, oh, because I was raised this way, then I wouldn't do that thing, like I wouldn't be able to survive because I was coddled, etc. So that realization in my life came through different experiences, and I think one of which, the recent one, was as being eldest, I was the one who was taking care of the family financially. So I was able to again learn and realize these things, that life isn't a bed of roses. And even though I was protected when I was a kid, I am the one who will be protecting them now, if I make sense. And in the other side of the coin, being the eldest kid, and even my relatives would joke about this, that I am like the golden kid, like the golden egg or something, as if I am an egg. But I was an egg when I was a kid, right? Because I was like an egg cell or whatever. But being the golden kid, most of my decisions needed my parents' approval because I was conditioned that they know what's best for me. And again, it didn't help me in life, but I had to unlearn that. And although it could be an Asian culture type of thing too, but things like what courses in college would you take? And actually, if I would have taken a different route, I would have earned a lot more money, but I ended up to my profession today because my dad was in the same profession as I am. When I was picking up my college degree, he wanted me to take up this course. Not complaining though, especially that if I wouldn't have chosen this profession, I wouldn't have met my husband. No, but come on, I had the foresight and I didn't listen to my gut. And then there's another side of the coin. I mean, there's different sides of the coin being the eldest. But another downside of it is the pressure. The pressure to be a good example to my younger sibling and etc. That I should be the bigger person. That I should be the one to forgive and forget. All of these things. And that contributed to why I feel and do what I do today. And again, it's a case of nurture and nature, right? So my personality and my whole being wasn't dependent on that alone. It's a whole lot of things: experience, environment, placement in the family, and being the eldest child, etc. So Zesties who have children or planning to have them, please don't put too much pressure on the eldest kids. I felt that the younger kids always had it easy. Anyway, that was how I was raised a gazillion years ago. So I'm sure people now have YouTube and child therapists and coaches and all of that, but back in the day, it was just a passing on of knowledge from a mother to another mother and another mother. It's a teaching that has been passed on through generations. So that has reshaped how I view things in life, because I was the eldest kid and basically put on too much pressure. But that could be a good thing too. I mean, like, all of these experiences, I feel, affects you, and the impact it has on you will always depend on how you view it and how you apply it to your life. So some people, if they felt too much pressure from their parents, they could resent their parents. But how I viewed it was, in the end, it was for my own benefit anyway, because whatever pressure life gives me, actually, I got more resilient. I hope this resonates with you as well. And also another thing that shaped and reshaped how I view things around me was my high school bullying experience. I have shared this in the past episodes. Please do check it out if you're keen. There are a lot of details that I have shared there, but I'm just gonna summarize it here. So having been bullied, I realized a lot of things. For me, mainly is that I should make a decision that I won't be bullied anymore, or I stand up for myself. Then after deciding, taking steps on how to stand up for myself. So backtracked before high school, when I was in elementary school, I was extremely bad at PE class, and that led me to think that I was fat and very fat and overweight and weak, etc. Basically, I had a really bad body image. Just because when I was in elementary school, I wasn't really good in PE or physical education. But when I look back at my pictures, I wasn't really fat. And I don't know why I felt that way. In elementary and high school, in PE, you have to like run in the field. And even if I run very few meters back then, I already felt like fainting. Exercises like I can't even reach my toes, my jump is very short. I mean, I'm short, but I mean, at that point, this kid is like super weak. So I was really bad at it, and kids can really be mean sometimes because like they compare themselves to the results of others and then blah blah blah. So I was considered unhealthy and blah, you know, all these things. And then come high school, I was also bullied. But all of that changed after I decided that I no longer want to be this kind of person anymore. I don't want to be a kid who is weak. I mean, physically weak. I want to be stronger. So there was a turning point in my life where I was also watching a lot of anime back then. Then that springs to my escapism, but that has inspired me to take up a martial arts class. And from then on, I gained self-confidence because I felt like, oh, I'm getting stronger. And I've also surrounded myself with like-minded people. And then that's very important as well, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. This has made me realize that there are a lot of people who likes me for who I am, my type of people, my tribe. And after starting to get physically active, I realized that I can actually run and I'm actually good at it. So when I was around early 20s, I was considered one of the best runners in my team. Well, not really super marathon, but I could actually run fast. In one of our company sports events, I was one of the candidates or the athlete to do this run, and I won. So that goes to show that even though at one point in your life you were this type of person, but once you decide that you don't want to be like that person, you can actually improve yourself. I think it's all about mindset and the decision as well. So mindset and decision. So when things happen to us, we can treat it as a learning experience or a failing experience. Whatever you choose will set your path. Then I did a lot of things and went to a lot of classes, like gym classes and even yoga classes. My favorite gym class back then was TRX. I couldn't find TRX class here in Brisbane, which is a shame. So if anyone knows where I can find a good TRX class, please do let me know. And another experience that reshaped how I see things was the experience of traveling. Traveling to different places, to different countries, experiencing different cultures. And I was lucky to have those opportunities, being able to experience different kinds of cultures and interact with different kinds of people helped me see things in their shoes and reshaped how I think on my shoes too. So when I traveled to UK for work, I realized the vastness of opportunities outside of the Philippines. People think differently, work differently, talk confidently. And I was not confident with myself back then. I still had that colonial mentality at that time. And trust me, it's a very hard mentality to break. So for those of you who might not know, colonial mentality is an internalized attitude of ethnic or cultural inferiority felt by people as a result of colonization. A lot of countries have colonized the Philippines, but a huge chunk of our history was the colonization of Spain for 333 years. And it corresponds with the belief that the cultural values of the colonizer are inherently superior to one's own. So that's why when you go to the Philippines, you will see like a lot of whitening products, all those kinds of jazz. And I even felt that the traditional Filipino maybe food or culture is not as, I'd say, popular. I'm not really sure, but maybe I'm just generalizing, but that's what I felt. And I realize now that this colonial mentality is pretty hard to break. So going back to being able to go to different places and being able to work to a different country than my own, I realized that no matter how confident you speak, if it doesn't have depth, it's still crap, I think. So it's not like the it could be the confidence, but sometimes it's also better to have that chunk of wisdom. Speaking with depth, with speaking with ideas that lead to somewhere is something that I am striving on. And then because of colonial mentality, I didn't feel confident in my own skin. And only after meeting a guy, which is now my husband, made me realize that having brown skin is not actually inferior, and all the more that I should be proud of it. Being brown-skinned has its benefits, you know, but it's quite sad that you will only realize this after meeting someone different than your own skin. So if I wouldn't have met someone different than my own skin, when would I have realized this? Maybe somewhere down the line, but who knows? So traveling either for business or for leisure enabled me to expand my knowledge, my views on things, as well as my horizon. So I encourage you Zesties to go to different places as much as you can. If unable to go outside of your country, try to work in a different city perhaps, or take a vacation to a different town or place. Immerse in it, then you will come out a different person afterwards. Speaking of traveling, I do feel that when I travel, it helps me want to go back home even more. You know, when everything is so mundane and if you just change your routine a little bit, like go on a few days of vacation, you will get refreshed when you get back. So Something like that. And one last thing that I wanted to share was the labeling of introversions, right? So people and even introverts themselves think that because we are introverts, we are not eloquent speakers, we are not good with people, yada, yada, yada. And I used to think that way too. However, my view changed after some experiences in life. For example, before I used to think that, I'm an introvert, so I'm very shy. Oh, I'm an introvert, I won't be a good leader because I'm not good with people. And I realized that we shouldn't embody how we label ourselves, if you know what I mean. Or we should actually avoid labeling ourselves. Just because we are introverts doesn't mean that we are not good with people, we are not good in public speaking. But if you Google it, actually, the definition of an introvert is a shy, reticent person. But to Google, I beg to differ. Although some introverts might be shy, but being an introvert doesn't automatically mean that you are shy or aloof. An introvert is a person who is stimulated by looking inwards rather than outwards. I once saw a video by Simon Sinek, an American author and inspirational speaker, where he has differentiated an introvert and an extrovert. He said, think of an introvert as being someone who has five coins, for example. Every time they interact, they give out one coin until they don't have the coins anymore and they get depleted. That means that the introvert gets depleted with social interaction and they will get energized once more, or they will get more coins once they have their time for themselves. While an extrovert, in this same example, starts without coins, and each time they interact, they gain a coin. So they get stimulated with social interactions. That's why we introverts, and this is a live example, if I have one or two social parties in a week, I would definitely need the whole weekend to recuperate. Same with having meetings in a day. So after each meeting, I needed time on my own to replenish my energy. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't shy as well. Back in the day, I was definitely shy when I was very young. And I guess my introversion have contributed to it. But growing up, I was able to navigate through it and channel the energy. So zesties, especially my introvert zesties, don't ever think that you are not good with anything that is usually associated with extroversion. Maybe like speaking to a lot of people, things like that. Like, don't ever think that way just because you're an introvert. There might be some things that might not seem natural to us, but once we learn how to channel our energy, I think we can be great at whatever we want to do. And do remember, Lady Gaga and Beyonce and even Simon Sinek are introverts. So I hope you zesties enjoyed this episode. I always like to share my opinions and learnings to be able to inspire at least one of you. So I hope this was helpful. Please do let me know what type of topics you would like to listen to in the future. Send them through DMs on my Instagram or email to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. Stay tuned next week.